So those of you who attended my previous session, I now downloaded and now it works. I'll not demonstrate because you just have to trust me. I can show you that. For those of you who didn't attend, my name is Kent Agerlund. I'm from Copenhagen in Denmark, where I spend my time working with a company within a company called Cortec. I like questions. I got a few questions here also after the session. Some of them were really interesting, actually, about some new stuff that we might have to look into. You can also reach me on Twitter. So if you have any questions after this, just send me a tweet and I'll do my best to reply. One of my top five friends just died on me. So this is a sad, sad Friday, meaning that I'll have to stand by behind my laptop here. This session, this 1 hour session that we have, is a site review. What I will do in here is I will walk you through some of the things that I do when I do a site review. And often customers are saying stuff like, doesn't really perform the way that it used to do half a year ago. Now when we go in and open up our console, it seems to be a little slower, it seems to be a little sluggish. Opening up the deployment node can easily take a couple of minutes. Creating a software update deployment in the wizard can easily take like 2-3 minutes before it actually jumps from one page to another page in here. The session will try and figure out why we have some bottlenecks and how we can fix those bottlenecks. And then I also have a WSUS thing in here, because the last 2 weeks, more or less, I've been doing nothing but WSUS troubleshooting. I don't know if any of you had an accident in August when you synchronized your AUKUS updates, Patch Tuesday, and then suddenly your clients just stopped scanning. I had that patch Wednesday morning, three customers calling me, and I was like, that's weird. Now it's three, and they have almost the same issue. And then I started investigating, I was asking some of my other colleagues, and it turned out that they actually also had some of their customers and also their internal environments with the very same issues. So we had to dig into the issue and then we had to come up with a solution. And what I would do if I were you Monday morning is I would implement the solution or similar solution to what I'm going to show you, because failure to do so can cause your WAN connections to, be overheated. I had one customer where the MPLS pipes were just burning and they couldn't keep up. The config manager administrator, he saw that the WSUS traffic was actually taking up like 99% of all the WAN data, which is not a good Wednesday morning when you realize that. So if you haven't seen the same issue, you need to make sure that it doesn't happen in your environment. So that's one of the demonstrations or demos that I have in here. Just a few things about some of the troubleshooting techniques we have. We don't need to be an expert on all of these areas here, but it's nice to know just a little bit about WMI. You need to know your status messages when you're troubleshooting, because a lot of info and feedback will come through the status messages, your log files. I mean, that's a must. So you need to know about that. And I'm pretty sure that most of you in here are very experienced config manager administrators, so you know CM Trace and you know some of the other troubleshooting tools as well. There is a new tool called Configuration Manager Support Center. I don't know if any of you have used that tool yet. Some of you, three of you. So that's like a tool you really should download. So once you're done with the party tonight and you cannot fall asleep, take a look at this tool. I'll give you a quick introduction to the tool in here. And then, of course, SQL. We have been told over and over and over again that we cannot go into SQL and modify stuff. That's okay. That's not a good idea. If you feel the need to do that, I would definitely call Microsoft support first. But you can go into SQL and have a look, create some queries, and figure out what's wrong and what's not wrong. And you can also go into SQL and optimize the database if you have to, as long as you don't go in and create a whole lot of new objects and so on. So you should not be afraid to go into SQL. I mean, after all, what can possibly go wrong? And then I'm also going to introduce you to a PowerShell script that will actually document your SQL environment after. And running the PowerShell script that will give you like a almost a complete documentation of your SQL environment is very, very handy the day where you have to do a restore. So a few demos in here, a lot of demos actually. The log files, always use CMTrace unless you have a very good excuse not to. Then you can use Notepad. Verbose locking. Verbose locking is really a good idea and often required if you want to troubleshoot some stuff. I do not enable verbose locking and leave it running, but I do enable verbose locking whenever I have to troubleshoot something on the client. And maybe I also enabled it on my management points when I have to troubleshoot something on my management point. And to enable verbose locking, you have to go down in the debug locking key, and there you have to change a value. You also have to go down and create the debug locking key, first, and in there create a key. You have to change it twice. Or you can do as I'm doing in here. And by the way, those of you who attended my previous demo, here is my CI, right? So just reboot. Whatever you do, just reboot your environment and you don't have to call support. So I have installed in here, I have installed the Configuration Manager Support Center. The Configuration Manager Support Center is a little utility. It's a free download from Microsoft. Just go in and search for it. There are two executables, and there are kind of a few purposes. There is a viewer. So with the viewer, I can go in and read whatever zip file you're sending me that has been generated by the support tool. So when I am opening up my Support Center executable and run that one, I can collect some data in here. So this is typical, something we have been doing when we have created the support call at Microsoft. They would have given us a tool like this and say, hey, can you run this and just send me back the zip file? Now we actually have the tool ourselves, so I can collect some data in here. I'm just going to collect the data we have here. Once it's done collecting, it will prompt me for the name of the zip file. That zip file will then collect, that zip file will then contain the data that I have here. So I can take the zip file and send to a good friend of mine, and then he or she can analyze the data. That is very, very neat. If I go in and have a look at the support center, then I told you about verbose locking. And verbose locking, if you go in here and configure your client locking, you can just select verbose locking in here, and it will go down and make sure we change the needed registry keys. So this is a way easier way to handle that. You can also, when you start digging into your log files, you can also open up groups. So if I want to do some troubleshooting around inventory management or client registration, just go in and select that specific group, and you'll see here that you actually have log files from the different components involved in that specific process. So this can be very, very handy as well. Troubleshooting, those of you who have been around since SMS 2.0 and SMS 2003, you might remember that we had something called the MP Troubleshooter. The MP Troubleshooter was a tool I could run on a client and then see from a client perspective if my management point and my client infrastructure are actually healthy. So when I start troubleshooting here, I'll just figure out if my client can actually connect to the management point and if the MP is working and so on. And if you want to learn any of the checks in here that it performs, you just go in and double-click, and then you can actually see exactly what it's doing. So this tool is like CM Trace in one. It's like Policy Spy and Client Spy. It's just basically a very good tool that you can use when you want to start troubleshooting your client. You can also do some cache troubleshooting in here. So if we can have a look at our content, if it actually gives me anything in here. So I use this one here. I especially use the logs part of it, and I also use the data collection part of it in here because it just makes my life easier. So that one there, that will lead me into SQL. And as I mentioned, don't be afraid about going into Management Studio and have a look around. You actually have to do that often when you want to create a report. I don't know how many of you are creating your own custom reports. Some of you. Those of you not creating your own custom reports, maybe it's because you're kind of, I don't know anything about SQL and how do I actually get started and so on. First off, there are a lot of good blog posts out there that will help you. Second, if you know the SMS provider log, then when you're creating a query, for instance, that query is WMI based. But if you go into the provider log, you will actually see that it translates the results there into a normal SQL statement. So if you go in, let's just do a little demo here. If I go into my Config Manager console, and while doing that, just open up my SMS provider log. That one right here. Let's go to the monitoring node. I'm just going to let's do this query here, all SC 2012. Run that one. So at the very same time in here, I will see two lines. I will see an execute WEQL statement, and after that, I will see an execute, and then I will see my a normal SQL statement. So you just have to go in and find the execute statement in here. And of course, you can use a search. But now I already have my thumb working. So let's just, here you go. So here I have my execute WQL, and below that I have my execute SQL. So I could, that's not the one that I ran. So it has to be up here. Here you go. So this is the one that I ran. Find me all my machines that belong to this domain. Down here I have my select statement. So you can actually copy your select statement here. And I'm not saying this is the best way to do that, but you can actually copy your select statement and then execute it in here. And now I can impress my boss and say, oh, you know what I've been doing before lunch, I just wrote this. This is a great way to get started, but you still, I mean, you still might need to do some modification to your statements, but this is a great way to get started here. So don't be afraid about SQL Server Management Studio. Don't be afraid to start writing your custom reports and so on. Some of the common issues that I see is often because you set up an environment that is way too complex. I mean, a lot of customers, they are really concerned about SQL clusters and SQL mirroring and all of that stuff, having SQL on a remote box. All of that is supported except the mirroring part. That's not supported. And it will break your environment, by the way, so please don't do that. But this, in my opinion, is one of the reasons why we're seeing issues. Keep it simple. I understand if the DBA guys, they want to have it on a remote box, but I mean, give them some red wine, some other stuff that will make them happy so you can have your SQL unbox. And don't let them tell you that, well, if you want to go to 12,500 clients, you need to have it remote. Nope. We have examples where we have 300,000 clients and SQL is unboxed. So it's not a matter of the number of devices or clients that you support. It's a matter of how you're setting up your SQL. I will definitely still have my DBA team with me so they can help me so I can configure my SQL correctly. Another tip on your site systems and performance, offload your user-facing site system roles first. So if you're more than 5,000 clients, I would definitely have two servers at least, and then say my distribution point, management point, SOP, and my app catalog, let's get them on a separate box. And then let me have my primary site server and my SQL on the same box, my reporting on the same box, and if it turns out to be an issue, then I will start offloading my reporting. I'll not offload my SQL. Performance. Why are we seeing performance issues? Well, the root cause, as I have seen it, is often collections. You have like way too many collections. And for whatever reason, some of them are refreshing like every 10 minutes. And when you have a lot of them, and some of them have a very, very poor query, then you have the recipe to a very, very non-good working primary site server. So we need to be able to analyze the collections. We have a tool for that, luckily, which makes it very easy to identify the collections in here. Then we have the site settings. I'm still surprised sometimes with what I see. I had a customer running hardware inventory every 15 minutes, software inventory every hour. And then they, by the way, they also enabled all the hardware inventory classes. It's like, it's a bad idea. There are good ideas and then there are bad ideas, and that's a bad idea. They were at the same time complaining about the MPLS lines. And I mean, of course they are. If you're uploading like 10 megabytes of data from each client every 15 minutes, and by the way, it could never finish in 15 minutes. I mean, the software inventory, if you know that can easily take like 20 hours to run because of all the idle time. So that's like the worst example I've seen. Then there is SQL. How many of you pre-created the SQL database before you actually ran the Config Manager installation? Two. In my opinion, that's a must. You need to go in and pre-create the database. Because when you're pre-creating the database, you can control the files. So you can create the files. You can create the needed files. If you don't pre-create the database, you will just get a single file. That file is 5 gigabytes in size. I know it will extend, but that process of extending, that we don't like. So you need to figure out how much space do I need for my database in total? Let's say 65 gigabytes. How many files do I want? Normally, I want around 4 files. So I need to split those 65 gigabytes into 4 files, pre-create that, and then run the install. That will just give me the best performance. For those of you who didn't do that, Monday, once you have done the VSU stuff that I'm going to show you, then you might want to look into adding multiple files and take the single file that you have and then split the data there in between multiple files. I have a blog post for that. So the WSUS issue that I mentioned, what we saw that patch Tuesday was that after we have synchronized with Microsoft, and at least 10 customers that I know of ran into this issue. So if you have not run into this issue, consider yourself lucky. And then wait until the next patch Tuesday, because then maybe you will run into it. So what happened was that all of the clients, they simply just stopped scanning. None of the clients scanned. We went into the Windows Update Agent handle log file, and we saw the error codes that you're seeing up there. Furthermore, those who were not scanning, when they started to scan again, they changed to another software update point, because the error code that they generated, the timeout error, is one of the error codes that will actually force one client to go from one SOP to another SOP. What happens when you change between software update points? You will be downloading the catalog again. And when they're downloading the catalog, if you're not doing any maintenance of that catalog, it's just the metadata, but if you're not doing any maintenance, then you're actually downloading something that looks like 10 to 15 megabytes per client. How many software update points do you have? Most of you might just have a single one. Some of you might have like two or three, but mainly they are in the main data center. So now you have all your clients, also the remote ones, they're just downloading 5, 10, 15 megabytes of data, and that will cause your MPLS lines to kind of bleed. So we investigated, and we realized the reason why the client stopped scanning was because the app pool crashed. So when you go into IRS, you have the WSUS app pool in there. That one stopped. It stopped because the catalog coming from Microsoft has increased in size, plus we're not doing any maintenance. So it couldn't keep up with the with all the requests, and when it can't keep up, we have something called rapid failure on the app pool that will cause it to a stop. When it doesn't run, all the clients will fail. So a few things in there that we need to do is, we need to make sure, in order to mitigate this, we need to make sure that the catalog we have is as small as possible. How can you do that? Well, you can remove all the updates, but then again, if you're not scanning for critical updates and security updates, why have a WSUS server at all? But you need to run at least, in my opinion, at least once a month, you need to run the WSUS cleanup job. How many of you are running the WSUS cleanup job on your servers, on your WSUS servers? That's way too few. That's less than 10. So the rest of you, Monday, make sure you have some coffee with you when you start this. When you run the WSUS cleanup tool, I am confident that 50% of you will run into this issue. It will just give you an error, connection error. And you will go into the event viewer, and you will in there, you'll look at the what's going on, and it will give you an error code, and you have no idea what it's saying. What it's basically saying is that I have a timeout. It has a timeout because it cannot clean up the obsolete updates before it's actually done within the requested period of time. So what you have to do is you have to manually go in and delete those updates. You can also do the same in PowerShell. So this is the same running the WSUS cleanup tool in PowerShell and will just generate more or less the same error. So you need to go in and fix that. Once you have fixed that, then you can actually run the WSUS cleanup tool. How do you run this WSUS cleanup tool? Mainly manually. Do you remember to do that once a month? Some of us might. I will certainly not do it if I have to do it manually. So after you have done the WSUS cleanup, you need to automate that process. So you need to figure out the PowerShell script that I have up here, and then create a scheduled task in Windows, and then make sure that that one runs like once a week or once a month, and that it will generate you an error message saying that, hey, something went wrong or something like that. So there are a few things in here that we need to look into. So the question is, am I talking about only WSUS as a standalone or the software update point? You need to do the same for both of them. So if you have a standalone WSUS, make sure you implement the kind of the same solution. This issue here I saw with all my Config Manager customers. So what you're saying is that if I have deployed an update and I remove the expired update, then it will actually perform a cleanup. That's absolutely correct, but it's not performing the cleanup in the WSUS database. But you are right, it will perform a cleanup on your source files, so where you downloaded the updates, and also on your distribution points. You're absolutely right about that. Yeah, you still have to do this Monday. Yeah. So, but what you're saying is a pretty important thing. I mean, make sure you clean up, remove your expired updates, and so on. So, any of you have seen a timeout when you try to run the WSUS cleanup wizard? What did you do about it? Okay, so yeah. So you were able to just do one command at a time. Okay, I've had that working once, but often if it deletes, often what I'm seeing is that it expires when you're doing your delete unused, and I can't even do it with just running that single command line. Let's just go in here. So a few things that we want to do in here. First off, you want to figure out if you have any obsolete updates, and you do that by running this stored procedure. So go to your SUSDB, run this stored procedure. This is a demo environment, just installed it. So there are no stored procedures. There are no updates in here. But the majority of you, when you run this on Monday, or if you connect to your remote environment right now, you will have thousands of updates listed in here. When you have thousands of updates, that is what's causing a timeout. So you cannot. The WSUS cleanup will never ever run. The next thing you can do is you can run the other stored procedure that I have in here, that will actually go ahead and delete the updates. So you down here you have the update IDs, and just run it and specify the update ID. If you have 1,000 or 2,000, it might be at one point it becomes a little bit boring. So we have a script that, see if I have it here. Otherwise, I have it right here. I have a script in here that I recommend you use instead. So this script, what it will do is it will just run the stored procedure. And this is the same stored procedure as we are running when we are doing the WSUS cleanup wizard. So there is nothing hocus pocus in here. It's pure WSUS. So what you do in here is you just go in and then you do the select top. And then you in here say, well, before I really trust those guys, I just want to see if I can delete 10. And then you realize it worked, and then you go in and delete 2,000, and then you realize it's going to take forever. At one customer, it took 9 hours to delete 6,300 obsolete updates. So just make sure you schedule this for outside normal business hours, or at least just make sure that you know while you're doing this, your WSUS server and the synchronization might not be working. That's kind of important. Otherwise, you can do it in bulk and, you know, like 50 at the time or something like that. Once you have done that, then you can run the cleanup wizard. So when you run the cleanup wizard, as I mentioned, we want to automate that process. See if I have that one I have right here. So my cleanup wizard, the first thing you want to do is you want to automate the process. I have a scheduled task in Windows here that will run a PowerShell script. So the first thing I'm doing is I'm just running this PowerShell script. It will create a scheduled task called WSUS cleanup task. The scheduled task, if I take a look at that one, SCCM sources WSUS. What this one will do, I actually have that right in here. It will take a look at who I am. So I will generate an SMTP report, and then I will mail that report to me every single time I run the tool. So for that reason, I need to connect to my server. So I would connect to my WSUS server. In my case, that's CMO2. I will generate a report. I will use my SMTP information and I'll mail the report. Down here, it's just doing the cleanup. So there is nothing special in here. This is just like running it manually. So once it has done that manually, it will create the HTML file and then it will mail it to me. So that HTML file will just tell me how many updates did we delete, how much space did we actually save, and so on and so forth. So your solution, download the script, create a scheduled task, make sure you can run the WSUS server cleanup utility manually, because when you can do it manually, you can also automate it. And right now, if I look at my task scheduler, and just refresh this one in here, you can see I have a WSUS cleanup thing. I wrote a blog post on this like a week ago. In there you have all the steps that you need, and it's not that difficult. It's just the two scripts in here. Question? So that, so the question is related to when you deselect some of the objects in your classifications and your list of products, WSUS doesn't really clean up a lot of the stuff. I've seen that happen too, and I would say the WSUS cleanup wizard is the best, because in here, if you run it manually, you can select the different options, so you can delete unused, delete obsolete, you can compress the space being needed and stuff like that. So that is the best thing you can do. Besides doing that, you also need a solution where you can actually defragment your database. And I'm going to talk about that in just a few seconds. So I would combine that with what I have right in here. So now we know what you're going to do Monday morning from 9 to 10. You're going to implement this. it's not possible. You have until Tuesday then. so the second thing you want to do is you want to have a look at your SQL stuff. So as I mentioned, you want to have multiple database files. You want to have multiple database files because of performance, right? It's better to have four files than one file. That's not the same as it's better than having 12 files compared to four files. What we have seen is that if you go beyond eight files, we actually see a decrease in performance, so don't do that. I usually just go ahead and pre-create and four files every single time I create the database. And then you want to have a tempdb file for every two CPUs. You want to have a look at the default tempdb settings, because by default, they are horrible. So if you don't change that, you will have your database expanding all the time. And I don't remember how many megabytes it is, but it's really not a whole lot that the default tempdb database is. It's like 8, 10, something like that. It's really nothing. So you want to make sure you modify that one. Then you want to limit your SQL memory. That's kind of a must. And then you need to think about your other databases. And other databases would be your SUS database, it will be your report server database, it's your tempdb database. Those also need to be looked after. I'll show you how we do that in just a few seconds. This is just a disk layout example. I get the question often. And know your SAN team, know your Windows server administrators, become good friends with them, so you make sure that you actually get the maximum performance. We don't have an IOPS utility in Config Manager, but there is a tool called SQL.io, which is an IOPS utility for SQL. You can actually run that and then figure out if you get like 500 IOPS, that's not super good, or if you're getting 15,000 IOPS, that's actually pretty okay. But that's really needed. Just don't run it during business hours. You want to make sure when you create your storage that you have your log files on one partition, your database on the other one, and tempdb on a third one. If money is an issue, then you could take your tempdb and your log files and kind of combine those, but don't have your log files and database on the same. It's not a good idea. Some other considerations: modify your autogrowth. Autogrowth leads to fragmentation. Fragmentation leads to bad performance. Bad performance leads to your manager not being happy. And when your manager is not happy, you have extra work, right? And all of that is just caused by autogrowth. So make sure you know what setting you should configure in there. Database recovery mode, that's another one we need to look into. And then you need to have a defragmentation solution that works. The maintenance task. How many of you are relying on the database maintenance task we have in Config Manager? Okay, a couple of you. I would say that I wouldn't trust them. Sometimes they're working, but often they are not. I know that they're doing some stuff, and I know exactly what they're doing, but I can just see when I go to a customer and I run a fragmentation script to figure out how bad everything looks, if they're just using the built-in stuff, it can sometimes look really bad. We're talking like the indexes being 99% fragmented. That's not good. So I don't trust them. I am implementing a solution from a guy called Ola Hellengren. I don't know if you're familiar with that solution, but I can just, let me go in here and implement that. So once you're done Monday, 10 o'clock, this is what you're doing before lunch. a few things you wanna look at. See if we can create a new query here. My CMPS1. The first thing I normally do if I go into it, access to the right files. We wanna see how bad things are. So I have a little script here, and I run the very same script against my WSUS server. Okay, so this script will just tell me how bad things are in here. Right now, you can see the average fragmentation tells me two things. I either have a very, very, very good database, or I just installed the server. In this case, I just installed the server. I will guarantee you, if you've never done anything, you're looking here at a lot of indexes above 50%. And everything above 50% is considered a performance issue. So you want to have a solution where you can actually defragment the database. In order for you to do that, I recommend that you create another database. So in here, I have created a database called CM Monitor. I have all the scripts for that. So those are part of the scripts that I will make available here. So I have a script in here that will go in and create the CM Monitor database. The only thing you need to do before you run the script is go up and change the path so your log file is actually matching where you're storing your log files and so on and so forth. Once I've created the database, I will take Ola Hellengren's solution and then I will add those to the database. Why don't I do this on the PS1 database that I have? Because it's not supported to modify the existing database. Okay, so when I'm implementing Ola Hellengren's solution here, that one I have right here, maintenance solution. When I implement that one, the only thing you have to do is you have to go in here and change the database to CM and then just CM Monitor. So what you're doing right now when you run this is that you are going to install the stored procedures, the needed code, and so on and so forth into that database. Once you have done that, Ola will create a few jobs for you. And those jobs, if you go down into SQL jobs, you will see here that you have some jobs called index optimize, and then you have an index optimize, and you have your user databases. If you run this one, and I think you should run this one at least once a week, what it will do is it will take all of your databases, your WSUS database, your config manager database, your report server database, all the databases that we have created, and re-index the stuff. It will defragment the stuff, it will figure out if it's needed to do anything, and then it will do the job. You can also do as I have done here, create a job manually. So this job here, if I go into the steps, edit the steps, then I can tick the code directly, just create a new query, and run that query against the CM Monitor database. So what I'm doing in here right now is I'm just running the defrag script. If you run this for the very first time in production, bring coffee with you. It can easily, the record I have so far is 23 hours. I was on a phone call with a customer, and that was actually a Friday afternoon. After a couple of hours, we were like, okay, call me back when you're done. He called me Saturday morning, say, let's do it on Monday. but in a normal environment, what I see is that it usually takes like 10, 15 minutes to defrag the database. And some of you might go like, why do I want to do that? You want to do that because having a database that doesn't have, you know, fragmentation is crucial to most of the stuff that you do in the console. So I've seen customers where it took like 8 minutes from I double-clicked until I could actually go in here and see anything. After we ran the defrag stuff, we were down to a couple of seconds again. So that's just to tell you why we want to do this. I've also seen others, as I mentioned, where we go in and in a software update group, we say, well, I want to go ahead and deploy something. And going through the wizard in here took several minutes, simply just hanging from step to step. That's another one of the reasons why we want to do this. So we definitely want to have a defrag script. The other thing we also want to do is we want to make sure we back up everything from within SQL. How many of you are currently using Configuration Manager to perform your backups? Few of you? So Monday after lunch, what you're going to do is you're going to take and disable your backup step, and then you're going to move it in here instead. The reasons why you want to do that is because you're not stopping any services when you're doing your SQL backup. You're stopping services for a few seconds when you're doing your Config Manager backup. Stopping services can be bad because you're doing an OSD distribution. You're distributing your new WIM file, and you have a lot of remote distribution points. And at one point, it reaches 88%, and then because of your backup, your distribution manager component is stopped. Boom, that one never finished. So you always have the same 2, 3, 4 distribution points that for some reason never ever finishes. You also, if you don't run a Config Manager backup, a SQL backup, you'll also find that your report server log files, they are like 20 gigabytes in size, 30 gigabytes in size. Oops, you ran out of disk space. And when you run out of disk space, nothing really works because then SQL will stop. And then nothing works in Config Manager. So a few things in here. I will stay in demo mode. You don't have to be a SQL expert. That's one thing. We have everything documented in a blog post. That's the second thing. And you're not breaking anything when you're doing this, if you're doing it correct. you're not breaking anything. So what you want to do is you want to create a maintenance plan. You have a maintenance plan wizard. So when I go into the maintenance plan wizard in here, I'll just create a maintenance plan. I want to schedule my backup just like I do normally. So if you run a daily backup, you want to run a daily backup. The time of day, that's entirely up to you. Including in your backup, you want to do a few things. You want to clean up history. You don't want to have like 12 months of history data on your SQL box. Doesn't really matter. And you also want to clean up your maintenance task. I had one customer that ran out of disk space because they had like 12 months of database backups that lying there. I was like, that's not a good idea. Clean them up. Make sure you just have like 7 days. And then you want to do a full backup. We don't care about the log files when we're backing up the Config Manager database or the report server database. So I'll clean up history first. Remove any data older than 1 week. I don't care about that. For my backup, I want to make sure that we do a backup of my PS1. I want to make sure we do a backup of my report server. Report server tempdb, otherwise we cannot restore it, and also my SUS database. One thing I've learned is that you don't want to reinstall WSUS. So if you have issues with WSUS, don't uninstall the software update point, remove WSUS, and reinstall it, because that usually just generates a lot of new problems. So I would go a long way to troubleshoot why my WSUS is not working. If you do it, you can save a lot of hours by calling Microsoft and say, hey, we just reinstalled WSUS, and they will give you a script that you can execute that fixes the issues you're seeing. So I'm selecting my databases in here. I'm selecting a location. So I want them to be stored here in this location. It will generate a BAK file. I will create a subdirectory for each of my databases. Don't have to do that. And I will use compression. Using compression means that your backup will be 10% of what Config Manager is generating, because Config Manager is just doing a file copy. So if your backup or if your database is configured to 60 gigabytes, it will require 60 gigabytes. While here, the very same database might only be like 4 or 5 gigabytes in size. That's one of the other reasons why you want to do this. Then I want to define my maintenance cleanup. So I want to ensure that this folder here, F:, and then /SQL BCK. Just remove whatever BAK file you have in here, and the first level is I added in subfolders, and delete any file that is older than 1 week. And that's it. Now I'm done. I've created my task. Let me just cancel that one, because I've already pre-created it down here. So I've created my task, and if I look in my F:SQL backup, then you'll see I have a backup of all my databases. And for me right now, this is like 1.5 gigabytes in size. I know it's a demo environment, but in Config Manager, if I did it in Config Manager, it would be at least, if I go into my database here, look at my files, you'll see I have 4 files, so it will be at least 14 gigabytes in size. And then I have a log file, 5 gigabytes. So at least 20 gigabytes would it be if I did it in Config Manager. A few other things you want to do while you're in here. Your report server. Go into the properties on your report server. In options, make sure you configure the recovery model to simple. When your recovery model is simple, it means that we don't really care about the log files, but we will just truncate the log files every time we do a backup, meaning that your log files won't be like 50, 60 gigabytes. And I'm pretty sure some of you in here have seen your report server log files kind of grow just crazy. So make sure you change that one. Make sure you change, when you go into your databases in here, your temp database. This one here is just using the default settings. So look at the initial size, 9 megabytes, and then it would auto grow by 10% at the time. This is very, very bad. So what you want to do is you want to calculate how should your TempDB size be like. And then you want to go in before you start doing anything, pre-create or modify the stuff. I have an Excel spreadsheet that you can download. It's not the the final truth, but this is what I use every single time. So if we have 12,500 clients, I can see in here that my TempDB should be about this size. And give or take a third of your Config Manager database, that's kind of the rule of thumb. So when it's 8 in size, there's a huge difference between 8 and 20, right? And if we go back in again and have a look at this one, then it was 8 megabytes. Or 9 megabytes. What I have in there is 20 gigabytes. There's a slight difference. so make sure you modify that. Make sure you modify your memory in here. So you go in and say, well, my minimum memory is 8, and then my maximum memory would be if I have 24 gigabytes of memory, I would set my maximum memory in here to something like 16 or 18 gigabytes. So I have 2 gigabytes for the operating system. Yeah. 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 So that's a good question. So when we are doing a backup in Configuration Manager, It also backs up some of the file system. It backs up my registry. And those are all important information if you're running CMO 7. We're not using that when we are restoring in 2012. So why is it still there? I don't know, maybe the developer, I mean, it was lunchtime and she didn't. I honestly don't know, but what I do know is that I've done restores in production twice, and I've used, and it's fully supported, it's also mentioned on TechNet, that restore your database. Once you restore your database with your SQL restore, after that you run your setup again, and then you have a different set of options. And in those options, you can choose between the built-in task or a SQL backup. And you just say, I already restored my database. It will connect to it, and then it will take you through the wizard and do some stuff. So it's fully supported, and I do understand the question, but we don't need the information at all. we still have like 8 minutes in here, so I'm just going to go quickly through the next stuff in here. Collections. Performance in collections and changes in R2. I don't know if you're familiar with some of the collection changes we have in R2, but if you update or if you import a machine and update the old systems collection, what you will see is you will actually see all collections directly limited to that one, like up here, all workstations and all servers. They will now be evaluated. If I created a workstation that goes into all workstations in Zurich or Basel or what have I, then all collections that are limited also to all workstations here will also be evaluated. And then if I have all workstations Basel below all workstations in EMEA, then all workstations limited to this one here will also be evaluated. Because down here, I have my collection, all workstations in Basel, and this is where I'm actually adding the device into. Does this really mean anything? It means a lot. Because if I import a machine, trigger a full share or an update of my old systems, and I have, like, let's say, 1,000 collections, nothing. I mean, the collection evaluator will run for 30, 45 minutes maybe. And while I'm doing that, nothing else really works. So if you have some of your colleagues trying to add a device to a software collection, forget about that. So a few things you wanna not do is you never ever wanna update your old systems, period. Your old systems will refresh every 5 minutes by default, so wait for that refresh. If you have a custom script in your OSD solution, wait for that refresh to happen. Once you find your device in all systems, then your custom script can go down and update all Basels. That would be okay, but you have to wait for that. Otherwise, I mean, the collection evaluator is really messing the system up. Then you also need to understand what your custom collections are doing. The best tool for that would be the collection evaluator viewer. So when you install the Configuration Manager toolkit, and I've done that here, from time to time, go into the toolkit, in Server Tools, run the Collection Evaluator Viewer tool. And then when you run this, just connect to your primary site server and look at the full evaluation. So the full evaluation in here, what this will show you is information taken from the collections underscore L and underscore G table in SQL, and it will tell you how much in percent are the different collection actually taking. Extremely important. I ran this at a customer like 3 weeks ago, and we identified two collections that together took more than 50% of the processing time. So I asked the guy there, the customer, I said, Brian, what exactly are those two collections doing? I could see they had something like software, IBM DB2, something install. So we quickly identified the collection, and we could see the query in there was like, a select statement where they did some percent is like, and then they had like four or five is likes in their query. One of them took more than 1,000 seconds to process. That's a lot when you're looking at the other ones and that takes like 1 second to process or 2 seconds to process. So this is an important tool in here. And I mean, one of them has to be the one that takes the longest. I fully understand that. But knowing this, you will also be able to identify the collections that are all like WordPerfect 5.1, Pilot 1, Pilot 2, Pilot 3. Well, maybe you don't need those collections any longer, right? So this one here is important. Then document your SQL server. That part is important too. You need to figure out what settings you have in your SQL server. If you're going to restore everything, you need to know your CU level, your service pack level. You need to know language and all of that. You also need to know the information about your database. So you have full recovery mode, simple recovery mode, and so on and so forth. That will assist you if you want to identify some issues. It will also assist you when you're doing a restore. We have a PowerShell script, so I'm going to document my server just before lunch here. So let me go in here. I have a PowerShell script called SQL Audit. And the only thing you really need to do when you want to run this in your own environment, and it doesn't change anything, right? It's just a bunch of selects and stuff like that. But just make sure that you change your fully qualified domain name, your database, and then you have a temp directory. Because what it's going to do in this temp directory here, it's going to create a lot of CSV files. So what do I have right here? Let's see if I... Let's see. Hang on a second. No, it's not running the backup if that was your comment. Oh, here I actually have them. So I did run this just before. So I'll just figure out what actually happened in here. So it's going to create all of these CSV files in here. And then when I run the second audit script, SQL audit, which it was actually supposed to run at the very end, this SQL audit script here will take all of these CSV files and then it will combine them all into a single Excel file. So you will have one Excel file in here. Let's see where I have my, just open up that one. That's my audits, and that's the compiler. This is the compiler that is going to run at the end. And when I run this one here, it will generate, you can see here, it generated my Excel file. So when I'm looking at my Excel file, see where we have that one. Didn't I run it? Ah, now I see what I did wrong. Never ever do anything, any changes before session, especially not before lunch session. So I just saved my Excel file in here. Of course, I should have saved it not in System 32. I just saved it in the directory where I was. That's a bad idea. It's right, actually a really bad idea. So in here, Windows System 32, I should have my Excel file here, and that this Excel file, oops, that's not the one, just contains all of the CSV file. I will change this, so before I make this available for download, I'll just make sure that it's changed, and if you look at the stuff that you have in here, it will be stuff like, what is the physical name of your files, and let me just show you another example here. Which is very, the DP, the database statistics, this one here is very important. So in here you get information about when each of the databases and so on was last updated. All very, very useful information if you want to do any troubleshooting. With that, it's actually 1 o'clock. I will be around here because I just want to fix this so I can upload the files here. So if you have any questions, then I'll be around here for the next 5 to 10 minutes. I will also be with Wally out in the Q&A, and you're more than welcome to find us in there. With that, thanks for coming. I hope you learned something, and I hope you know what you're doing Monday. And I will call each of you Monday afternoon and make sure that everything went okay.